Well, we're speaking now with First District Representative Sage Dixon. And Sage, thanks for talking with us.
Always happy to be here, Chris.
We just mentioned this. This is your 10th legislative session that we're coming
That's
into.
That's correct.
And I think you are a senior elected legislator now in the First District.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I am, which I don't know if that's a great
title. Does that come with gray hair?
I don't get a better office, but the gray hair, yes, did develop over these 10 years. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, let's start out with, we have a new legislative session coming up, starts just next week as this airs. Review what committees you're assigned to, and are there any new ones?
Okay, no, these are the same committees. Usually at the beginning of every term, we get our new committee assignments, and mine have remained the same for the past 4 years. My afternoon committees have been the same my whole term, but I have revenue and taxation in the morning, so that meets every morning. And just as it says, we deal with our taxing and then the revenues coming into the state. Afternoon committees are transportation and defense, and then also business. And business was a committee that I chaired for 4 years, but I'm no longer chair due to a leadership position, which I'm mentioning that because it adds a fourth committee. There is the Ways and Means Committee in the House, which is the leadership committee. So what is said is that's where bills go to be born or to die. Mm-hmm. If you want something done really quickly at the end of the session, usually the Ways and Means Committee will hear it. Or if a bill is not to the speaker's liking, generally it will be sent there and never heard. So it doesn't
the Ways and Means Committee needs to approve it to bring it to the full legislature.
Correct.
Yeah.
That will be the starting point. In our process, there's what's called a print hearing. So you have an idea. You would come to me as chairman, say, here's an idea that I have for a bill. Here's a draft. Can I get a print hearing? So the committee gets a first look and says, okay, this is a good idea. We want to hear more. Mm-hmm. Then you would come back for a full hearing. So at the end of session, afternoon committees shut down at a certain point as we try and manage our time. And it could then come to Ways and Means, and, mm-hmm. and we as leadership would look at it. Both majority and minority leadership are in that committee. Look, okay, this is a good idea. Mm-hmm. On it goes to the germane committee at that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what are some of the big issues you anticipate the legislature is going to take up this year?
As always, education will probably be at mm-hmm. the top of that list.
And that's the biggest chunk of the budget.
It is the biggest chunk of the budget, but for my time in the legislature, we've been trying to get to the education savings account. It was mm-hmm. something the state of Nevada did back in 2014, and something I was interested in and served on the education committee my first term, but there has been a representative from down in Kootenai County that's been trying in different permutations and different ways to do that. We thought last year was the year. There's been a national movement to provide parents with more choice, and this education savings account seems like a viable way to do that, especially with the different ways that education's being delivered. We're not necessarily in the brick and mortar building all day with tutoring and online schools and things like that. The House Ed Committee wanted nothing of it. It's basically one reason why. I think another reason, as I was reflecting on this a little bit, is it started in the Senate with some folks that aren't necessarily the most well thought of, I will say. They're a bit antagonistic, so that puts other members, both in the Senate and House, on the defensive immediately. And they don't want to reward them, even if they may kind of like the idea a little bit and work on it. So that didn't help in doing that. But it's still something moving nationally that I think is very important. There's a lot of teachers dissatisfied with the way the system's run. There's a lot of parents dissatisfied, and students aren't necessarily getting the outcomes that they want. So I'm certain we'll have another push. It may look different than that education savings account. There's a model that's a tax credit mm-hmm. that may be looked at.
So this allows a parent to aim their tax money where they think it will benefit their child.
Correct. That's well put. We all are paying taxes into that system, both locally and through the state, in the general fund dollars, but also with our levies and we don't really have one here, the bonds, but the levies. And so this would allow parents then to say, yes, well, we'd still have to pay for the levies, but it would take the state general fund dollars and allow parents to say, this is what suits my child best and mm-hmm. what we want for our child's education. 20% max, and what it's shown itself in other states is it really isn't even that high of parents will do that to remove their child from the public system. But nonetheless, having that opportunity and is important, I think, for parents.
Well, that take money away from the public system.
Not really, because there's not going to be a student they're having to pay for in that sense. And oftentimes it's a percentage of the dollars that would go to the public system. So those dollars would still remain in the general fund. We're roughly between $7,000 and $8,000 a student, say. It could be a little more on either end. And the proposals are at 80% or 90% of that amount that would be made available for a parent to choose something different. Those dollars would remain in the general fund, which conceivably could go to the public system more in that sense. Those would be two different discussions, mm-hmm. but it's not a direct draw from the public system because they're paid by butts in the chairs, essentially what we say. So you're not going to have that student there. They wouldn't have those dollars anyway, mm-hmm. in that sense.
So that's likely to be an issue that comes up with a lot of discussion.
I'm certain it is.
Facilities and funding new facilities for schools? Because that, I know in our local school district, that's a major concern right now. We have some schools that are very aged.
I agree. That's something I've tried to push dollars towards, and especially when we had a lot of the COVID dollars that were earmarked for education. I thought that was a good opportunity to set up a fund, some sort of endowment that could be going to that to help, regardless of whether the school is large or small, so there wasn't that disparity that you often see in doing that. Those are kind of under the surface. I mean, that's a strong need, but it doesn't ever rise to some of the other discussions about general fund increases or this education savings accounts or school choice issue. I'm sure there'll be something on that, Chris, but I've not heard anything specific. I thought there was a really good opportunity last year and in the year before with some of those COVID dollars to set something up that could be used throughout the state, but the governor didn't go in that direction, meaning that a lot of those decisions came from his office. The legislature poked around with it, but not much. Mm-hmm.
Okay, those are some education issues that are likely to be debated. What are some other big things you foresee may be coming down?
I think we'll have more election issues about voting. Some of the things that we addressed with this election coming up in 24, just both in our state and nation, is going to be pretty contentious. And so trying to tighten some of those things up there. I continue to meet people that think we're sending things all over the internet and it's always hacked here in Idaho. And our system's pretty good. There's some things we can tighten up, but I think we'll see a lot more. Or once again, we'll see some bills regarding voting integrity and our election system. We had some issues up here last year with voters, I don't want to say assaulted is the wrong word, but having contact with people that were electioneering, essentially, within the 100-foot barrier, or they were being directly addressed.
You're supposed to stay at least 100 feet away
from
polling places.
That's what our current law says. Yeah. And we tried to make some changes last year, but I think they were a little too broad, and so the House State Affairs Committee just didn't pass it. They didn't like what was being said. We got to the point of a full hearing, and I say we, Representative Sauter and I, actually worked on it together to try and protect the voter. My opinion is we're trying to drive more people to the polls and take away the remote voting aspect of it and early voting. So I want them to feel safe and comfortable and happy about going to the polls. And if we have people that are confronting them and saying you must vote this way and stopping cars and turning people away, then we need to rectify that. Mm-hmm. So that's something I personally will be working on again, probably extending that 100-foot radius. There was some problems at Cedar Hills and the church it's at on Colburn, I forget, but the large parking lots. Mm-hmm. So you're well outside of that 100-foot, but as people are trying to drive into the parking lot, being interfered. That's mm-hmm. a good word, mm-hmm. interfered with, and driving them away. And I know there was some contact with the sheriffs and the clerk, but nothing was ever really done about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Other issues that you might want to bring up? I mean, the ever-present one, I think for a lot of people are roads,
right?
And taking care of our roads. It's a big state function.
I've been really happy with ITD in my time in the legislature and serving on that transportation committee all 10 years, carried their budget for a couple of years when I was on the budget committee. And we've had a lot done up here in our district. And mm-hmm. there's always going to be the issue with our weather that causes some potholes and things. But when I look around at what's been going on this year alone, we've had a lot of work done here, mm-hmm. and I think that'll continue. Mm-hmm. We lowered Fifth Avenue essentially there, so the larger trucks aren't having to go through town quite as much.
Folks may not have been aware that some trucks couldn't go down Fifth Avenue and get underneath the railroad bridge that's by the chamber there.
And once a year, somebody would hit the bridge.
And that's right. And there was many years back, there was a a load going through there with a big, heavy piece of heavy machinery on it. It got knocked off. It fell on a car and killed a woman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is probably 20 years ago.
Okay.
I remember that. Because she was a friend of mine.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a very tragic thing. And it's like, that really raised my awareness that that was a ever-present hazard there that people aren't even aware of. But now we actually took care of that.
Yeah, and we widened it, which is the long-term goal of 95 in our district here is to make it four lanes all the way up. It's slowly creeping up from Granite Hill and coming into Sagal. That'll be happening over the years. Up in Boundary County, they are straightening out the MacArthur Curve by MacArthur Lake there, which
they're
is
working
always,
on that right now.
Yes, and it'll be a nice long bridge. There's still a bit more of a turn than I would have liked, but it'll be safer.
Yeah, and that's a place that had fatalities as well.
Yes, it did. Mm-hmm. It did. So I'm happy with what ITD has been doing. It's a well-run agency compared to some others, and so we'll still see improvements up here.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about taxes in the budget. Another ever-present topic for the state, right? The state's been running some substantial budget surpluses the past several years, but that's come down a bit now.
It has, because of all the tax reform that we did and allowing us to keep more dollars. And then we've increased what our rainy day funds are as well and done some other tax reform that we're not getting as much revenue. And we've, of course, for better or worse, spent more also as we've had more dollars, tried to put a lot of it towards infrastructure so it's lasting use of those dollars. I actually am on the Economic Outlook Committee, which meets 2 days prior to the session. So I'll be down there next Thursday and Friday on that committee, and we'll be hearing from a wide variety of industries across the state and all their economists to see what they think this is going to look like. This year was far better than the projections that we heard last year, and I thought it would be better, so I'm kind of happy with my prognostic abilities economically, but we'll see what's coming up. We're still in good shape as a state, but those large surpluses are not as large as they were, but we're still doing pretty well.
Yeah, Idaho takes care of its budget. Mm-hmm. We are still a fast-growing state. Mm-hmm. We were first or second in growth. I just saw the most recent report the last year was predicted that we were about 10th fastest-growing state in the country. So it's come down a little bit, but is that creating extra stresses that the legislature needs to deal with, in your view?
With housing and transportation, yes. The workforce housing, as it's termed, and just housing in general, is difficult. In our area, there's not a lot of buildable land, but we're still trying to do that. But essentially, that dynamic we have is a resort town, essentially. And the cost of things for the people that are providing services, there's often a disparity there. So working on that, though, across the state, there's some creative things that are happening. We're some minor tweaks to laws to allow some incentive to build more multifamily homes and then be managed by somebody other than the builder. They're kind of nuanced laws, but trying to help with that. And then just the increase in transportation. A lot of dollars is going down south where most of the growth is. Mm-hmm. Kootenai County, though, is growing like mad as well. Mm-hmm. Most of that burden, I'll say, falls on the local jurisdiction, but we're trying to manage it as best we can. Mm-hmm.
Well, anything else you want to mention is a big issue that might come up this issue?
Well,
we're session?
Most likely going to have a ballot initiative in November, and there's signature gathering right now. And
that's the open primaries initiative.
Well, that's the way it's being sold, Chris, but it's a ranked choice voting,
okay,
which is a much larger issue than open primaries.
It's both open primaries and ranked choice.
Yes, that's originally how it came in was ranked choice voting, but it's being marketed as open primaries in that sense. And I think you and many of your listeners are well aware with my issues with the ballot initiative process. But I think, I don't know if there'll be an effort to try and head that off, but I'm sure there'll be some discussion about that. We'll definitely be talking and building awareness within the majority caucus. Although a lot of the push came from the majority caucus, I should say. So certain factions of the majority caucus that are against a ranked choice voting system. But then there's the other faction that is for it and helped bring it in. So we'll see about that. But I'm sure we'll have some discussions.
Yeah, listeners are probably acquainted with what the open primaries / ranked choice voting initiative is about. So we don't have enough time to get into the details on that here. But yes, that's right now they're over halfway with the signature collection they want to do. So it's looking like it'll get on the ballot.
I think it will. Just with my distaste for that procedure in making law, I think it's going to pass. But it'll be a big battle of dollars when it comes around November.
Sage, you got to say, it's not easy to get something on the ballot. So it's taken a full court press from this organization to
Because for $800,000, you can get all your signatures in 6 weeks. There's a fine science to the data mining now. And the people that do it have told me this, Chris. It's not as hard as
What I see is the foot soldiers out there, the grassroots folks that want to affect changes. This gives the citizens an opportunity to do that. But that's another conversation.
We could spend
a whole 20 minutes just on that, I'm sure.
Elected representation is how we should make law.
So elections are coming up, and you've announced this is your last term.
Correct.
After 10 years there. Yes. So does the decision to step back from the legislature give this session some extra meaning for you?
It will. I'm curious to see how my colleagues react to me if I am ignored. It'll be hard to ignore me.
Because you're kind of like a lame duck,
right,
I guess.
I'm in leadership, but still, we'll see if they ignore me or if they give some of my brilliant ideas special consideration.
Take Sage's idea why we still got him, right?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I don't know, Chris. It will. I'll try and soak things in a bit more because I have really appreciated the opportunity to serve this district and to be in the Capitol and to work on these issues. And I know, I've always known eventually you're just a face on a wall. If you go to the Capitol, all the former legislators' faces are on the wall, and inevitably that's where we end up. Mm-hmm. But it'll be bittersweet. Mm-hmm. I've made a lot of friends, and it's been just an honor. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any potential candidates been in touch with you, feeling out how they might run for your seat?
Yep. Earlier in the summer, after mm-hmm. it became known that I wasn't running, I had a couple gentlemen approach me, mm-hmm. and I just explained to them what it took to run, or from my mm-hmm. perspective, and what the job is as far as the mm-hmm. personal requirements, the family difficulties, but stresses sometimes. Yeah, and sure. I've heard that there are two more also, another gentleman and a lady that mm-hmm. have thrown their hat in the ring, that have gone to the Republican meetings and announced.
Right. So. Okay. Well, we'll probably be hearing from those folks shortly.
I'm sure
it's an election year. Well, Sage Dixon, thanks so much for speaking with us, First District Representative. How do folks get in touch with you if they want to bend your ear as your constituent?
Email probably is the easiest way. The quickest way would be my campaign/personal email, which is sage@sagedixon.com. Mm-hmm. We get inundated with our state emails. Mm-hmm. That you can use that as well. And texts and phone calls get buried once we get down there mm-hmm. in that sense. So I would try sage@sagedixon.com if there's something really hot that I need to know about. Mm-hmm.
Well, Sage, thanks for speaking with us, and good luck in the upcoming session.
Thank you, Chris. Always appreciate the opportunity.